Okay, so we have our final speaker for today, part of the NDB, Liberty Ndaba. You can read all about him. He's the leader of the Freedom Front Plus. He's a regular participant here at the BizNews events. He's also the longest-serving member of parliament in South Africa. So if anybody knows what's going on in politics, it's Corné Mulder.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. A Mauritian trust offers a powerful solution for global estate planning. Invest better with Brenthurst.
100 of South Africa's 257 municipalities are dysfunctional. That makes for 39% of our municipalities are dysfunctional. Of those 257 municipalities, only 41 received clean audits in the previous financial year. That is 16%. 84% did not receive a clean audit. 130 of the 257 municipalities do not have engineers in their employment. 30 to 40 municipalities at any given time have been placed under some form of intervention in terms of the constitution. The question is, what are we going to do about this? We are talking about local government, the level of government closest to the people, where we are supposed to get services for the taxes that we pay. We all pay taxes, local rates and taxes, but we see failure in terms of water, service delivery, direct impact that it's got on our economy, on growth, on unemployment, and investment. At the moment, we see in Johannesburg, for example, the problem with water. I've been there the last couple of days again, and water is not a problem. The only problem is it's not in the pipes. It's all over, but it's not in the pipes. We saw the problems with roads, potholes, and traffic lights. South Africa is a very unique society. We are most likely the only country in the world where an unemployed vagrant stands in the middle of an intersection in Johannesburg directing the traffic while employed official traffic officials wait at the moment to get the signal from the unemployed vagrant that they may now travel. That is what South Africa under the ANC has become. We heard this morning from Ambassador Buzel that infrastructure can be sorted out, can be done quite easily. Yes, it will take some time. I was fortunate last year during two visits to Washington and the White House. There should be no doubt the American administration, the Trump administration, and the American private enterprise wants to get involved in South Africa. They really want to come and invest, and they can make a difference with regard to our infrastructure. So, what do we do about this problem? To me, as a politician, there's only one answer. And I heard what Pete said, and yes, of course, it's not only politics. All of society should get involved. Business, civic society, everyone should get involved. But from a political point of view, the answer is simple. We need regime change in South Africa. We need regime change in all respects. Now, I'm not talking about missiles and bombings like you've seen recently on television. We don't have to do that and don't have to go through that. But we need regime change in South Africa on all levels of government and specifically on local government because most of those dysfunctional councils that I've mentioned are governed by the ANC. Now, luckily, we are in a very fortunate position. We have a chance to change those government problems and that regime change with the ballot. The ballot should be our bullet. We should use our ballots as our bullets to get regime change in South Africa. And I heard this morning there were some questions asked about when will we expect the local government election. It has to be between the beginning of November or the end of February of next year. Our prediction is that it will be on the 4th of November, which is most likely the date that the IEC is also working towards. So in 8 months from now, we will most likely be busy putting together coalition governments throughout South Africa. The answers are very clear. It is so, so very easy in terms of what we need to do to get to that point of regime change in South Africa. But we have a problem. We have a serious problem. On the one hand, the ANC is doubling down on their failed ideologically driven policies. And every time when I confront the president in parliament about black economic empowerment or in terms of our failed international relations policy, the ANC doubles down. They think it's the best thing to do and that's all that they've got left. I will be meeting the president next week this time for a one-on-one meeting, and then again, I will repeat to him the things that Ambassador Buzel this morning did put on the agenda, because those are the same things that need to be addressed to normalize the relations between South Africa and the United States. But we have a problem. The ANC doubles down and cannot self-correct. Anyone that thinks that the ANC is capable of changing their ways is in for a rude awakening. They cannot self-correct. We will not succeed in South Africa to take this country forward unless we remove the ANC from power altogether, and that is what I'm busy with each and every day. But the second problem we have, unfortunately, and I was fortunate to listen to my colleague Helen this morning, the DA is also a problem. Because as long as the DA puts on the table the idea that only us, the DA, can do this or that, that's also a problem, and that will also not assist and will also not solve, because it's also simply not true. What then is the answer? The answer lies within the reality that coalition government is going to be a reality in South Africa for time to come, whether we like it or not. And it's a good thing, because coalitions brings, or is supposed to bring, the best out of all political parties and all elected representatives. Because with a coalition, everyone is forced to come to a compromise, to come to an agreement, and I'll explain that just now. It's important that we understand that it's most unlikely that in the coming future or in this election that we will see that one single party will achieve a majority on his own. It will not likely happen. There may be here and there an exception, but in general, it will not be the case. And if we thought that we had some coalition governments in South Africa in the last couple of years, I can assure you we're going to have many, many more coalition governments right across South Africa after the election of November. In the previous election, it was basically mostly in the Western Cape, where the Freedom Front Plus was in 11 coalition governments with the Democratic Alliance. It was mainly in Gauteng, in some of the big metros, and that was basically it. But I can assure you in the election that we see at the end of this year, we're going to see coalition governments most likely throughout South Africa, and then the challenge will be to put those governments together in a successful way. The important thing in any coalition, regardless of which party is going to be, and I heard Helen this morning said on a number of occasions, the DA hopes to be the biggest party. And that's progress, because that means you're going to be hopefully the biggest party, but you realize you're not going to have an overall majority on your own. And that's very important. But the basic lesson is that the bigger party, whoever that may be, must be the most humble of all the parties in the coalition. Because unless you have a clear majority on your own, you are also only a bigger, small party, because you need other parties to get to a 50 plus one majority and to govern. And then when you go into those kind of coalitions, I was involved in putting some of them together in Johannesburg and in Tswane and other places, you cannot speak about our government. It is the coalition government. And you have to accommodate and listen to others. And the basic thing is this. Neither party that goes into the election with their own manifesto receives enough votes to govern on their own. That means after the election, people come together and they try to find common ground, and then you negotiate a coalition manifesto. This, in my manifesto, is not negotiable. And that is for me very important. And that is for you very important. And you agree on a new coalition manifesto. And that becomes the policy framework and the platform of a coalition government for the next 5 years. And if everyone sticks to that kind of agreement, then for the first time, you'll be able to stick together and to govern. In the first coalitions we saw in 2016, all of them fell. Why? because it was all about positions. And it's amazing how some politicians change into strange people the moment you bring out the mayoral chain. It's amazing. Later on, we learned no talk about positions. That's the last thing on the agenda. You first have to agree on a common program in terms of where your coalition will go. And then, unfortunately, we all know and we all understand how these things work. And we've seen some examples already. Shortly now, you will start to hear the phrase, don't waste your vote on this or that. Don't waste your vote. And quite often it's referred to as a smaller party. Now, it was said this morning that we have approximately 507 registered political parties in South Africa, but one shouldn't be too concerned about that. Because 95% of those parties is only me, my wife, the dog, and an old fax machine. That is who they are. It means nothing. I'm registered at the IEC as a political party, and I feel very good when I go into my bedroom at night and my wife addresses me as Mr. Leader or something. It means nothing. About 4% of those parties are serious, real contenders that will participate in this local government election coming in November. So those 20 parties that will participate will get councillors elected, and we will then form coalition governments most likely throughout South Africa. And my preference would be that we exclude the ANC from those governments as far as possible. I don't want to see the ANC in any government because they've got a track record. And every speaker that spoke since this morning indicates the very efficient track record of the ANC. So when somebody says, don't waste your vote, it's unfortunately a lie. You cannot waste your vote in our electoral system that is a proportional system of representation, especially on all levels of government. And let me be honest, there's only one instance in terms of the electoral system where you can waste your vote, and that is on local level in a by-election. If there's a by-election, you don't have also a second vote for a proportional representation in terms of the political party. Then parties can split their vote in a by-election. But in any general election, people will receive in the metros two ballots, and in the rest of the country, you'll receive three ballots, one for your ward candidate, one for a political party, and one for the party in a district. All those votes are counted combined. Percentages are calculated, and in terms of the percentages, seats are then allocated. Even if you don't want any ward, you will get some representation in terms of what your percentage would be. So when can you really waste your vote? And that is very important, and I believe that we need to get out there and get the message across, because I honestly believe we've got one chance. We've got one last chance come November this year to turn South Africa around. And it's not only about November this year, because the local government election will only be the foundation working towards the 2029 election, where I believe we will finally remove the ANC from power. But to get there, we have to find a solid base, and that is the local government election. So how can you waste your vote? And many people do. From my perspective, there are three examples. The first one, if you are eligible to vote and to register, and you simply don't register, you say, well, I'm not going to register, I'm finished with politics. Politics will always be busy with you, whether you like it or not. So people who say, I'm not going to register, then you waste your vote. Secondly, people who do register, but then say, oh, I'm not going to vote, it's going to be Braaidag vandag, then you also waste your vote, and it's quite irresponsible, because by not voting, you are supporting the ANC, and I can show you the figures in terms of why I say this. And the third instance where I believe you can waste your vote, if you are registered, if you go out and vote, and you vote for a political party that does not necessarily carry your values, your principles, and the things that are important for you, for whatever other reason that you may think, I rather vote for this because of this, that, and the other, then I also say you are wasting your vote. We've got an interesting situation in South Africa with our population. If you look at opinion polls, if you look at what people are saying in surveys, they'll tell you that the majority, the vast majority of the South African population across all communities, black, white, colored, Indian, doesn't matter, are to a very large extent people with Christian values and with very large basic conservative family-orientated values. That is what's in the hearts and the minds of South Africans across the board. Go and talk to them. So you've got a population that are based in terms of those point of departure values. But then we have a liberal constitution. You've got a liberal constitution, and we end with a very woke government. So there's a clear disconnect between what's in the hearts and the minds of South Africans out there at this very moment and what the constitution says, never mind what the government says. And that is why many people stay away from the polls. They say it's not worth it. They're not going to vote, etc. Let me list some of these values that I believe are in the hearts and the minds of South Africans out there. And you can go and test them with ordinary South Africans out there. Respect for tradition and institutions. Individual responsibility and freedom. Limited government. Free market economy. Private and guaranteed property rights. Social order and stability. Patriotism. Decentralization and federalism. Family values. Respect for the rule of law. Security and secure borders. Zero tolerance for crime. Zero tolerance for corruption. And so I can continue. And that asks a very different question about our constitution, if it is really, truly homegrown as a product of what's in the hearts and the minds of our people, and that's a different discussion altogether. Ambassador Buzelle this morning referred to the autobiography of Mr. Mandela that he wrote before he came, and he referred specifically to what he read in there where Mr. Mandela said and what was said and the atmosphere at the time in terms of how things were. And I was there. I was there the day when Mr. Mandela was inaugurated. I was there the first day of Parliament. It was a fascinating moment. In the House of Parliament, there was Mr. Mandela. There was General Viljoen. There was Chief Minister Gacha Buthelezi. And for a second, they all walked over across the floor and greeted each other. It was a specific, very important moment. But that was the spirit and the value at the time, a value and a time with an outgoing process of let's accommodate each other. We all came from a conflict and a very difficult period. The ambassador said this morning, if only we can go back to that. Yes, I absolutely agree. And what most people don't realize, and many people forgot, before the current constitution, we also had an interim constitution that was negotiated at CODESA. The interim constitution was Bill 200 of 1993. And most constitutions do have a preamble. But that constitution also had a postamble at the end of the constitution. And the idea of the postamble was to say, well, now we've come through a very difficult time in South Africa of conflict and strife. And many of these young revolutionary people in the EFF and others do not know what it was like during those times, and they can very easily talk about the things that they are trying to do. But that postamble captured, as far as I'm concerned, the spirit that was around at the time, 1994, when this current dispensation started. And when I read this, I want you to listen for yourself and say, is that what happened? Is that where we are today? Let me read it. The postamble of the interim constitution ends with what is called national unity and reconciliation. And it says, this constitution provides a historic bridge between the past of a deeply divided society characterized by strife, conflict, untold suffering, and injustice, and in a future founded on the recognition of human rights, democracy, and peaceful coexistence and development opportunities for all South Africans, irrespective of color, race, class, belief, or sex. The pursuit of national unity, the well-being of all South African citizens, and peace require reconciliation between the people of South Africa and the reconstruction of society. The adoption of this constitution lays the secure foundation for the people of South Africa to transcend the divisions and strife of the past, which generated gross violations of human rights. The transgression of humanitarian principles in violent conflicts, and the legacy of hatred, fear, guilt, and revenge. These can now be addressed on the basis that there is a need for understanding, but not for vengeance. A need for reparation, but not for retaliation. A need for ubuntu, but not for victimization. This is what the postamble of the interim constitution said. And if we look back now, 30 years later, at where we stand today in South Africa, the question would be, did the ANC, who was in charge of this country for more than 30 years, lead and steer the country and all the people in this country to this hope, to this expression of what can be achieved? No. When I spoke to people in the American embassy this week, they said, South Africa has now become the capital of race-based legislation in the whole world. How is that possible if you compare it to what was the aim in terms of this postamble? I honestly believe that the vast majority of South Africans that I've said just now, who are Christian in belief, the vast majority, who believe in traditional conservative values as well, and those that I've mentioned, are still committed to what is being said in this postamble of interim constitution. Our challenge is to have regime change in a peaceful manner, and the way to do that is to use our ballots in the election. And we can achieve that. I've been around in politics for many, many years, and I think most of you also sense out there, amongst the broad population from all communities, there's a fed-upness, there's a sick and tiredness of what we have seen happening in this country for the last 30 years. And you can almost feel the enthusiasm and what's happening and boiling under the surface of people who are coming together and say, we can change. We can change South Africa for the better. Because the things that we want, other communities exactly want the same kind of thing. I'm convinced in my mind that the ANC cannot, under any circumstances, change their ways. That is who they are. It will never change. But I honestly believe that their reign has come to an end. And the way to do that is in a peaceful manner. We all have an absolute task in the next 8 months. To each and every one should become an activist that should go out and speak on a daily basis to South African citizens across the board. Get people to register. Convince them that we can have a beautiful country with a beautiful future for everyone. But then we need to change that at the ballot when the opportunity comes in November as the precursor for the final regime change that will come in 2029. Thank you.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. The wealthy aren't leaving South Africa, but their trusts are moving offshore. Invest better with Brenthurst.